John 14, verses 13 and 14. My title is Content with Prayer. Being content with prayer, however you want to put it. But prayer has been on my mind a lot lately. I brought a devotion on it not too long ago, and Dennis, which was prompted by Dennis, Dennis's devotion a few weeks before that, and he used this scripture here in John 14 and verse 13. And like I said earlier, we have, as a church family, we have a lot to pray for. We can just sit and think of who needs our prayers and why they need them and the ailments that they have or the trials that they have in their life and the things they struggle with. So our prayer list is long and the need is great. And so we look in John 14 and 13 and 14, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." And when Dennis read that a few weeks back, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, wow, that is an extremely powerful verse. And I don't know how anybody could not read that and not just, really think about that. How amazing that is. "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Anything. There's no restrictions on that. We can ask Christ for anything, and he will do it, as long as we ask it in his name. And what's the reason for that? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's why he will do that. Being human, we are often skeptical, though, of prayer, praying. Will God answer my prayer? Does God answer prayer? A lot of times, we pray something and we pray it in Jesus' name, of course, but then we just kind of go on like, "Oh, well, I did my duty. I prayed for somebody and asked for something, and I prayed in Christ's name." It's like praying is just something we do. There's no, just to help us, stay focused on God or something. I don't know. Sometimes that's the way I get sometimes. I'm not saying anybody here is, but sometimes, we just lack faith in our prayers that God will do what we ask. And then a lot of times, we think it's going to take him forever for this to come to pass, Sometimes it does take a long time for prayers to be answered, but if you just stop and look around you, you'll find that God answers prayers quickly. I told you after I got out of the hospital of the experience I had with these two men that were that I shared a room with, two different men, and I prayed, "Lord, just give them what they need." And the first guy is, "Just give him what he needs. He's struggling here. He's got concerns. Just give him what he needs, And then, the Lord did. Gave him what he needed right then, just start happening just that quick. I didn't even get it. It just went right over my head. And then the second guy came in, and he was far worse off than the first guy. He had autoimmune disease, and he was a real mess. And he needed to be in a private room and just all kinds of things. I prayed, "Lord, give him what he needs." Just the same thing. "Give this man what he needs. He needs your help." And just minutes later, the room was filled with nurses and doctors and technicians, and they were checking him out and taking blood samples and saliva samples and had it analyzed. In less than 10 minutes, they come back and said, "This is what's going on with you. And we're going to do this, this, and this." And they had a plan of action, and it was just, boom, just that quick. And a few minutes later, his autoimmune doctor came in and gave him some really good news, and he was just tickled about it and everything like that. And then that's when it finally hit me. It's like, whoa, that was an answer to prayer. Just that quick. Wow. You know? And that's the way, you know, we get sometimes. We get that way, and, you know, just God's got to just about slap us right in the face before we pay attention sometimes, I think. And so God does answer prayer, and he answers it quickly most of the time. I mean, Trevor's a good example. We prayed a long, long time that he would get this liver and that he would be okay, and that just, boom, he got the liver, and it's just like he's up sitting in a chair. You know, we figured he'd be asleep for 2 days, but didn't happen that way. Amen. And then, when God answers prayer, a lot of times we're surprised. You know, oh, God answered prayer. You know, well, yeah, he would. He said he would. You know, why are we surprised about it? And not only are we surprised that he answered our prayer, but most of the time, we're surprised at how well he does it, how over the top he answers our prayer. It's more than we could have even thought of, that we could have even imagined. You know, we are so limited in our thinking about God sometimes that we put limitations on God. And then when he does something, you know, and it's just like, whoa, it's so over the top. It's so amazing that we see it. And we're just so surprised, you know, that God answered prayer. And that happens to me a lot. I know it does. I know it happens to you. I've heard other people say that you know, they're so surprised when something happens like that. And yet, why should we be? You know, because he promised he would. So we have, you know, God answers prayer. He answers it quickly. He answers it mightily. And he takes care of us so much more than we deserve. And we many times fail to recognize his hand in our life every day. So God answers prayer, but the Bible is also clear about how to pray and what to pray for. And if you turn over to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 13, this is what the world calls the Lord's Prayer. But it's actually a model prayer that Jesus spoke, not in a praying manner, but he was demonstrating to his followers here. He said, when thou prayest, I'm sorry, verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into the, well, I'm in the wrong spot here. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then here's the example. He says, after this manner. Now here's the example. This is how you should pray. He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He starts out by praising God. He starts out by basically honoring God, praying that God's omnipotence would be recognized by the world. That's what his kingdom come means. That God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That God would reign and rule, and that his will above all would be done exactly as it is in heaven. God is the one that manages heaven, controls it. We want him to do that here too. That's what we should pray for. And then he goes on, give us this day our daily bread. He says, give us what we need. Isn't that what he says? Give us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need for the day. Verse 12, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our transgressions, Lord. We transgress every day. We're still sinners. We're saved sinners, most of us, but we still sin. We still need to ask God to forgive us for those sins, to repent of those sins, turn from them. And we're to forgive people that trespass against us as well. Not just ask God to forgive us, but to ask for help in forgiving those that we think treated us poorly. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he says, protect us from the world that's out there. Don't let us be tempted by the world, and protect us from the evil that's there. In prayer band, you know, I hear the men pray many times, you know, put a hedge about the church, protect it, keep it safe, keep it strong, keep it pure. And we need to do that. You know, we need to ask God to do that, because we need him to do that and to keep us from the temptations of the world, and because there are many, and we're out there more than we're here. And we need that help in a big way. Every day you don't fall into temptation, God has answered your prayer if you pray those things. And he says, and he ends the prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he ends the prayer by praising God again. For thine is the kingdom. It's your kingdom, God. That's why we want your will to happen. When we say that earlier, it's your kingdom. And it's for your glory. Do these things for your glory, that we may give you the glory for it. And it's forever, for eternity. We know that this is a temporary place, but we want to give God that praise and glory for eternity. If you're saved, you want to do that. And then he ends with amen. So that's a basic prayer form. And when we pray, we should pray that form. Not those necessarily those words, but those forms, that form. Praise God at the beginning. Hallowed be thy name. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do for us. Praise him for those things. Because he's God, and he saved our souls, and we're unworthy of his even his attention, but yet we need to pray those things, and then ask him for our needs. When you pray for someone else, ask that God give them what they need. We don't know what they need. We think we do a lot of times, because we say, you know, cure their cancer or help their heart, or, you know, if they got heart disease like I got, you know, we pray for those things specific. But we just need to pray, give us what we need. That's what we should pray for. Give people what they need, because we don't know what they need. You know, we might think they need to have a perfect working heart or something like that, but God may decide differently, because you know what? If your heart doesn't work very well, you might be a little closer to the Lord than you normally would be. So some of these things, those ailments that we have, are actually to our benefit. And we shouldn't ask God to remove it if it's benefiting us. Now, we may not feel the healthiest and things like that, but you know what? We pray more often. We stick closer to the Lord, because we have these ailments or things that are bothering us. So what I need from God in my brain is what God wants me to have. And I might think, you know, just give me what I need. And I might think, well, I need, you know, help with this or help with that. But I don't know for sure what I need. So, Lord, just give me what I need. And let me realize what I need is what you want for me. And that's the part of the his kingdom come, his will be done. I would rather have God's will. I'd rather have a bad heart, and maybe, I don't know if Al would like to be able to stick on his oxygen as long as it's what God wanted for him, you know. It's better than the alternative, which may take us away from the Lord. So we need to realize those things. We need to just pray for what we need. I guess I'm kind of hammering that to death, but I think it's important. And like I said, I used to think prayers had to be specific, that we had to ask for specific things. But the example that we have in the Bible, that we don't have to ask for specific things, we just need to pray that God take care of the situation, whatever the situation is. Some time ago, Brother Gordon preached a message, and he brought it from Isaiah 37, long about verse 14. And it's the story of Hezekiah, who was king of Judah at the time. And after centuries of idol worship and degrading of the worship and so on and so forth in God's people, we have the kingdom is divided into the northern kingdom called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. And about the time Hezekiah becomes king of Judah in the southern part of the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom has been conquered, I guess is the word, by the Assyrians. And the king of Assyria, his name is Sennacherib. And so he overtakes the northern kingdom, Sennacherib does, and then he's poised to come into Judah. And Sennacherib sends Hezekiah a letter. And in the letter, he derided the Jews, the Israelites. He says, all these other nations that I've conquered, he says, they all had gods that they prayed to. They all had gods that they worshipped, and none of their gods saved them. I've crushed their gods. I've thrown their gods into the dust, meaning their idols. I've torn down their temples of worship and their places, and that's what I'm going to do to you. Your God will not save you because no one else's has. And he writes us in a letter to Sennacherib. Or Sennacherib writes us in a letter to Hezekiah. And in Hezekiah 37, verse 14 through 20, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. These are the messengers from Sennacherib. And he read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Does that sound familiar? If you think of the pattern, the form prayer that Christ put forth in the New Testament, what does Hezekiah do here? The first thing he does, he praises the Lord. He says, you're God, you're God of Israel. You've created the world. You alone. You created all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. That's what he was doing there. And then he says, incline thy ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eye, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. He said, he didn't read the letter to the Lord. He just said, basically, he was saying, take a look at this. I know you can. I know you know what's in this letter. I know you know what Sennacherib is doing, has done. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. And he's basically just stating, you know, these are the facts. This is what's happened. I know you know this. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. And he says, now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Give us what we need, is what he was saying here. You know what we need, and I'm praying that you will give that to us. And the reason I want you to do that is so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art Lord, even thou only. Hezekiah wasn't asking to be saved just for the sake of saving Israel. He was asking that the Lord save them from the Assyrians and Sennacherib's threats so that all the world would see that the God of Israel, the God of Judah here, was the God of the universe, of the world, so that all the kingdoms would know that they were delivered. And give us what we need, and do it so everyone will know that it was you that did it. That's what he's asking for here. And so this prayer kind of matches in form as the Lord's example prayer in Matthew. It's not exact, but some of the features of the prayer are there. And God didn't waste any time in answering Hezekiah's prayer. Because if you read on there in Isaiah, 37, you'll find that Hezekiah prayed the prayer. The next thing is Isaiah is telling him, Isaiah sends a messenger to Hezekiah and said, this is what the Lord said. This is the answer to your prayer. And that night, I think it was that night, it was that night or the next night, Sennacherib's army was destroyed. When he woke up in the morning, they were all dead, all corpses. Sennacherib never invaded Judah. He returned home exactly the way the Lord said he would. He said he will return home by the same way he came. So Sennacherib went back to his capital city, wherever that was. And upon his return, within a day or so, he was praying to one of his false gods, and he was assassinated by his two sons. Exactly the way God said it was going to happen. Very quickly. And very definitely. There was no doubt that God was the one that did that. So we know that God answers prayer. But does God answer all prayers? And again, the Bible is pretty clear about that. If you turn to James chapter 4, James chapter 4, and verses 2 and 3. Well, let's just start verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? And James is talking to one of the Lord's churches here. This church is fighting amongst themselves, apparently, and they got some real serious problems. And he says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And he's talking about ye lust there. And your desires for the things of the world cause you to do other things that are not becoming of God's people. Fight amongst ourselves. Churches fight other churches over some of the silliest things. And we struggle to, we desire things of the world and we struggle to achieve them, many times leaving the Lord behind. And then we get the things that we want and we're not satisfied with them, so we go after some more and we just keep pushing the Lord farther and farther away. And he says, you cannot attain. He says, you desire to have and cannot attain. You fight in war, you have not because you ask not. And then in verse 3 it says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So when we pray, we need to be careful what we pray for. Because we might be asking God for something that we shouldn't have. And if he gives it to us, he wouldn't be a gracious God to us. Unless he was really trying to teach us something the hard way. And sometimes that's what it takes. We have to learn things the hard way. But the Lord doesn't always give us what we ask for. If we ask for something specific. That's why it's important to ask, in my opinion anyway, it's important to ask for what we need. And then we have a promise that goes along with that. Because when we ask amiss, a lot of times we're asking for something that we just want, and we don't intend to glorify God with it or anything. We might think we are, but we might end up not doing so because it's just something we want, something we desire. And then when we ask for something specific, we're basically telling God, well, you know what? This is what I think needs to be done. That's really what we're doing. This is what I think needs to be done. This is what must be done in order for this thing to turn out right. So that's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to do. Because this is the only thing that's going to fix this problem. And I just think to myself, oh, really? You know? We know better than God. Do we really? Back in Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9, and I'm reminded of this many, many times throughout the days and weeks. This thought comes to my mind many times. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking to us here. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God knows the end from the beginning. We do not. All we know is now. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. We plan and we attempt to do things. We put things in place so that weeks away we will be able to do something that we have planned. Okay? And how many times has your plan gone exactly the way you thought it would? Mine don't. And I put together, when I plan something, I always say, this is what I think I would like to do in 3 weeks. And I never say, Lord willing, because I don't know what the Lord wills. I don't know if the Lord is going to will me to do that. But I just say, this is what I would like to do in 3 weeks. And if I get to do it, okay. And if I don't, okay. Because if I don't get to do it, I'm going to be doing something that God wants me to do, the real thing that God wants me to do, not the thing that I think he wants me to do. And so God knows more about our life than we could ever hope to. Nothing we can do about the past. That's gone. Might as well forget about it because you can't change it. And it's done. It's over. And we don't know about tomorrow other than just supposition, you know. Well, I suppose I go to bed at night thinking I'm going to wake up in the morning, but I don't know that for certain. So let's just focus on God, give me what I need, because he's got it all planned out anyway. And then give him the honor and praise for it. And a lot of times when we pray for something that we want, it's that old lust that James talked about, that we want to consume it upon ourselves. We want that thing because it's something we want, you know. It's not anything we need, but it's something we want. We need to ask ourselves, what is my first and foremost purpose for being here where I am right now? Why am I here? Not necessarily here in church, but why am I on this earth at this particular time? Why am I here? The answer to that is to worship God. That's why we're here. That should be the first priority, to worship God, to consider Christ, to consider God in everything that we do and say and think. Put God first in our life. Then we have a promise if we do that. Very familiar verse, Matthew 6, 31. Jesus is saying, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Father in heaven knoweth that ye have need of these things. We don't need to pray for food, shelter, and clothing. God knows we need those things, and he'll provide them for us. We pray, give me what I need. And he does. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seeking the kingdom of God is to acknowledge God. Acknowledge God in his greatness. Acknowledge God in his power. Acknowledge God in his glory. Give him what he wants. That's what God wants from us. Acknowledgement. His kingdom. Seek ye first his kingdom. That means his kingship of the world, that he is the king of the world. Acknowledge that. And acknowledge that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things that we need and some of the things that we want, God will give those to us. He promised that he would. And then he said, like I said at the beginning here, if we ask for whatever we ask for, he'll give it to us. He'll do it. Unless we ask amiss. God knows what we need. He knows what we can handle. He knows what's best for us. And we should want what God wants for us. That's why Jesus modeled his prayer the way he did. It's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. Prayer should give God all the honor and glory for everything we have. Prayer should praise God first and foremost. And prayer should acknowledge that God knows what we need and that he will provide that and more. He'll provide what we need and more. We need to be content with praying. and I mean that with just praying. All too often we pray that God will do something, that He will fix a situation or a relationship, a problem we have, something we think is wrong in the world. We pray that God will fix it. And we don't leave it there. Okay? The next thing is we go out and try to resolve it on our own. I've heard a lot of people say, you know, well, I prayed about this and I've left it with the Lord. And so I went and talked to this person and da-da. Well, then you didn't leave it with the Lord, did you? Because you went and talked to this person and tried to convince him of something. If you leave it with the Lord, you leave it with the Lord. You're done with it. Okay? I'm giving this to God for Him to handle. I'm done with it. And then leave it alone. A lot of times we don't even give God a chance. You know, we barely say amen and boom, we're off trying to fix it again. And then we stop and we pray again. And then we go again. And we wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? Well, because you're in the way. Get out of the way. Let Him do it. And then I've had people tell me, I prayed about this or that, something, and I believe the Lord has led me to do such and such. And what they actually prayed was, Lord, this looks good to me, whatever this is. So if you don't intercede, I'm going to do it. You know, they ask the Lord for leadership. But then they decide that if God doesn't stop them some way, shape, or form, I'm gonna press on. You know, I had a house in Flint. I've probably told you this story many times. I had this house in Flint. I was going to turn into a duplex for a rental, and one of the neighborhood kids burned it down the very first day they started working on it. And looking back, which a lot of times we need to do, we need to look back on situations. Looking back, that house was just a total struggle the whole time. I was trying to get construction money for it, trying to get insurance on it, trying to get somebody to work on it, getting a plan together, you know, getting everything together so they could start on it. And it was just one thing after another. It just seemed like one roadblock after another. And that's the Lord telling me, I didn't see it, but that was the Lord telling me, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do this. And so He burned it down. That stopped me. Stopped me cold. Because, you know, if I'd have went ahead and done what I thought was the right thing, I probably would be saddled with this property down there that would be costing me money in the real estate market for the last 10 years, you know. But God protected me from that, you know. And that's what sometimes we pray, you know. Lord, help me with this. This is such a struggle. Well, yeah, it's a struggle because I don't want you to do it. You know, we need to wake up a little bit sometimes. We need to be content with praying that God would give each of us what we need when we need it and be careful to give Him the honor and glory and praise He desires from us. And that's really all God wants from us. Acknowledgement that He is God of this world. Be content with prayer. We don't need to go out and fix things. God might use us that way. He might use us to help somebody or show somebody something. Or maybe just by our life, people might see God in us. So He might use us. But that's His choice, not ours. We don't need to go beat people over the head with the Bible. But if they ask, then you need to tell them. And if the opportunity presents itself, you need to tell them about Christ. You need to tell them about salvation. You need to preach the gospel to them. That's what we're here for, preach the gospel to people. Unless you're certain God is calling you to do something or go somewhere, be content with just praying about it. And if God wants you to do it, He'll open it up. He'll make it possible. He'll give us what we need. And that's, to me, that's the best prayer anybody could pray for me, is just give me what I need. And I'm done. So, Brother Jim.